Now, I'm making no secret of the fact I love Christmas. No secret at all. Please forgive me if I'm getting on your nerves. Please forgive me. Can I ask you a straightforward question? I want an honest answer here. Have you opened any of your Christmas presents yet? Wow. This is confession time this morning. It's confession time. My heart is open before you. I have opened one of my Christmas presents. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Shouldn't be allowed. But I was given permission by the person that gave it to me, and I brought it along to show you because this is rather special. I thought I must show you my Christmas present because it's such a special one. What do you think? Now, this is no normal Christmas hat. It's got a little thing up its sleeve, if I can find the button. I thought you'd be impressed. Now, listen, if you want one, I'll buy you one. I know some of you can't believe it that I take Christmas to such extremes. Enough silliness this morning. Today, it's Advent Sunday, and it's an opportunity to prepare our hearts for Christmas. And so I'm going to pray and ask that God would help us, that there's lots of fun things, but also spiritually, that we could, in this season, benefit, that God could do something in our lives. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you enjoy when we have fun. Thank you that you enjoy when we live for you and do all kinds of different things. But Lord, I know that your purpose and your grace and your goodness upon our lives is that you could lead us and make us more like Jesus. And so I'm asking today, would you speak into our hearts? Would you do something in our lives? Would you help us that each one of us could get closer to you this Christmas time? Lord, could we not get distracted by many things that we could potentially be distracted by? But could we place you, Jesus, right in the heart of this Christmas season? And I'm praying for myself, I pray for us, that we would grow closer to you this Christmas time. Amen. A few weeks ago, my son Matthew, he had the opportunity to do some climbing in the French Alps, and he sent us some photos. Here he is. He was up a mountain, sent us a selfie of himself. He was climbing in the mountain, and here he is going up a gully as he's climbing there. And then he sent another picture, which I was quite disturbed when I first saw it, the reason I wanted to show you this picture is that it illustrates this morning what I want to talk to you about. Because Matthew there was hanging out over the mountain, and he had great trust, great faith in that rope that was anchoring him to the mountain. And as he was up there climbing, he put his weight on that rope as he leaned out. He fully trusted his life to it. Now, in a similar way, I want to talk this morning about you and I putting our faith fully in God. Now, I bet Matthew felt a bit nervous hanging out there over the emptiness up high up at that mountain. And, you know, the thing about faith is that faith is often very, very similar. Actually, faith is like leaning out from where I feel comfortable. If I'm comfortable here now, faith actually is often leaning out to where I'm not comfortable. Actually, God wants me to choose to trust in him, to lean out, to hang on to him rather than fret or worry or be anxious. You know, I believe that our faith, I believe your faith is very important to God. Your faith is very important to you, but I believe that your faith is very important to him. You see, of all the aspects of our relationship with Jesus, faith is the key to so, so much. In fact, faith is one of the mega themes of the Bible. If you look through the Bible from the beginning to the end, there are some themes that just run through the whole thing. And one of the mega themes of the Bible is faith. The importance of faith, the centrality of faith, the fact that faith is all our relationship is actually by faith. The word faith is found 230 times in just the New Testament. It's mentioned again and again and again. Faith is important to God because, as it's written in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, all of us here want to please God. If I said today, would you like to please God? You'd say, yes, that's why I'm here. It's the reason I get up, it's the reason I live, the reason I became a Christian, is I want to please God. And the writer of the Hebrews is telling us, actually, without faith, it's impossible. We can't please him. Faith is absolutely essential. Your faith, your choice to believe, your believing in God is absolutely essential if you're going to please God. In fact, even more astounding, in Romans 14, verse 23, Apostle Paul tells this, everything that doesn't come from faith is sin. Wow, what a statement. What a statement. Paul's saying everything that comes from other motives or other things apart from faith is actually sin. In other words, faith is so fundamental, foundational, and essential to my connection with God, to my relationship with God, to what it means on a daily basis to walk with God. Faith is everything. Now, I want to suggest this morning that the only way that you and the only way that I can live my Christian life is to live by faith, which is why what I'm talking about today is not just for Christmas. Actually, what I'm talking about today is good for the whole year. And today we're going to look at faith by comparing two characters in the Christmas story. We're going to look at Zechariah, and we're going to look at Mary, and we're going to look at these characters and see how they used faith, how they used their faith. An angel appeared to both of them. So in one sense, there's a lot of similarity between what happened to Zechariah and what happened to Mary. Both of them, an angel appeared with some astounding news, some surprising news for both of them. But they responded in different ways. One of them responded in doubt, fear, unbelief. The other one responded with faith, trust, and belief. I want to contrast their reactions because I believe that God wants to speak to us this morning about our growing in trusting in him, in the challenges that we face in our lives. As not just for Christmas, but for the challenges that we face. This is equipping you for next year. This is getting ready for the year ahead, for 2018. I feel God wants to help us today to do what Matthew did up that mountain, that we would lean out, we put all our faith, not in a rope, of course not, and more importantly, we put our faith in God. Let's first of all look at Zechariah. The angel appeared to Zechariah. It's written down in Luke chapter 1 for us. Remember Zechariah, who he was the father of John the Baptist. His wife Elizabeth was a relative of Mary, mother of Jesus. And so John the Baptist and Jesus were related cousins, I believe. An angel appeared to Zechariah in the temple. Zechariah was a priest. He was ministering the temple. He was doing his job in the temple. And an angel came and said this to him in Luke 1 and 13. So don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. Now what was remarkable about that news, the thing that was so remarkable about what he said, the angel said, was that Zechariah was very, very old. And his wife Elizabeth also, she was very, very old. In fact, she was way beyond the childbearing age. So humanly speaking, what the angel was telling them was impossible. But his response to what the angel said, gave him the news. His response to that news shows that he was skeptical, unbelieving. He didn't have faith in God. Zechariah 1:18, Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. Zechariah didn't believe the message from God. And we see that in the angel's rebuke to Zechariah. The angel sees right into Zechariah's heart. The angel looks and sees right into his heart. In Luke 1 and verse 20, it says this, you did not believe my words. The angel saw his unbelief, saw his lack of faith, saw the fact he wasn't trusting in God. And of course, the thing about Zechariah was actually he had lived with a very difficult situation for many years. You see, he and his wife, Zechariah and Elizabeth, had wanted a baby. They wanted a child. And so he'd prayed and prayed and prayed and waited and prayed and waited. He'd been asking God for a long time. Finally, when it seems too late, naturally speaking, it was too late. God sent an angel and says to him, your prayers have been heard. You are going to have a child. Now, you know, I really feel for Zechariah. I really feel for him. He'd been asking God. He'd been praying. He'd been waiting. He'd been looking for God to intervene. His faith had been in God. He was trusting. He was hanging out on that rope, just like Matthew hanging out on that mountainside. He had been waiting. He'd been praying. He'd been trusting. And yet time had gone on. Time had gone on. He no longer could have children. His wife no longer could bear children. And his hope had run out. And so when the angel came and said, "You are going to have a child," he couldn't believe it. See, finally, at the time where he'd given up hope, that was the time that it was actually then God's time for his prayer to be answered. He, Zechariah, wanted God to answer his prayer years before. But God's perfect time wasn't his perfect time. You know, for each of us this morning, you know, there's some situations where you may have been praying about something for a long time. You may have been praying, asking, trusting, waiting. Praying, asking, trusting, waiting. And it may seem like it did to Zechariah a long, long time. See, God's answers to our situations, they are sometimes slow in coming. At least in my estimation, in your estimation, we think, God, I've been praying for this. God, I've been waiting for this. God, I've been praying and waiting. Can I encourage you this morning? God is never late. God is never late. If you could take one thing away from this morning, could you take this little phrase, God is never late. You see, the thing was, God had a better plan for Zechariah and his wife than Zechariah had. See, Zechariah and his wife, they thought, "We're married, we'd like a child, any child, boy, girl, we don't mind." But yet, they just wanted a child, but God wanted to give them more than just a child. God wanted to give them a special child, a child of destiny. God wanted to give them John the Baptist, this person who would have the privilege of preparing the way for Jesus to come. God had something better than they were asking. So they had to wait for God's timing. You see, sometimes you've been praying, you've been waiting, you've been asking. Actually, God's got something better because God is not late. God is the God who is not late. He comes at just the right time. Can I ask you this morning, are you waiting for something? Have you been praying for something for a long time? Are you tempted to doubt, like Zechariah was, that God is going to answer you? See, when the answer finally came, Zechariah doubted God because he had to wait so long. Can I encourage you to this morning, if you've been praying for something for a long time, keep your heart in faith, not doubt. Keep trusting, keep looking to God for his timing. Keep leaning your trust in God. Keep that picture that we just saw of Matthew as he was hanging out there over that mountain, trusting in that rope. There he was. Keep that picture in your mind. That is faith. Now, I want to contrast, we're going to come back to Zechariah in a moment, but I want to contrast Zechariah with Mary, because there's a great contrast in the Christmas story between how Zechariah responded to what God said and how Mary responded to what God said. An angel came to visit her. It's Luke 1:26. Let's see what happened. Luke 1:26 says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.'" What an amazing thing. Mary was, she was this young teenager. This angel came and told her astounding things, incredible things. What was her response? In one sense, what the angel told Mary was far greater, far harder to believe, I would suggest, than what the angel came and told Zechariah. What was her response? Well, in Luke 1:45, we see this. It says, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her." Mary, remarkably, amazingly, this young girl, heard this incredible thing and she said, yes, I'm going to believe. I will believe. I choose to believe. God was asking her to believe and she humbled herself before God in an incredible way. Do you know what? How humility and faith are absolutely linked together. Because if I'm coming to God and I'm humbling myself before him, I'm saying, God, your will, your way, what you have for me. If I'm humbling myself, I'm in the right attitude where I can believe, where faith can grow, where faith can spring up, where faith can rise up in my heart. If I'm humbling, if I'm putting that position that Mary will put herself in before the Lord. Look what she said. Look, I just want to show you that in Luke 1:38. Look at her humble answer. She says this in Luke 1:38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Wow, what an incredible thing to say. I mean, she's just been told the most incredible news. And she says, if you say it, let it come about. I will believe it. I choose to believe it. If it comes from you, I will accept it. What makes her response so incredible is she was a teenager, she wasn't married, she was just engaged. And in her saying yes to God, she was saying no to her plans for a perfect wedding. See, she was engaged to be married to Joseph. It was unthinkable at that time to have a child and not be married. And yet she was saying, God, if this is what you want, may your will be done. She was opening herself up to a very, very, very difficult circumstance and situation. God told her what was going to happen and she said, okay, God, if that's what you're going to say, I will believe it, I will go for it. The angel told her she wasn't going to have a normal life. There she was as a teenager, engaged to be married to this nice guy, Joseph. And yet this angel said, basically, you're going to have such a special child. Told him what would happen. And Mary must have thought, this is going to really change the course of my life in a dramatic way. But she said, yes. She humbled herself. She said, God, your way, not my way. I am simply your servant. In other words, she says, God, I will fit in with your plans because I utterly trust in you. She was like Matthew hanging out over that mountainside, just trusting God, you said it. I don't understand it. It looks tough, but I am going to trust you. There was a story of a Bible translator who was working with a people group and he was trying to translate the Bible into the language of this unreached people group. And so he was living with them and trying to learn their language and trying to help the process of translation of the Bible into that language. He was finding it very tough because in this particular local language, there wasn't a word for faith, there wasn't a word for trust, and there wasn't a word for believe. Now it's pretty hard to explain the Christian message. If you can't use the word trust or faith or believe, the whole, as I've been saying this morning, the whole of the Christian message basically comes to those three words. That's what it boils down to. Our response to God is those things. And so he was really struggling. He goes, how am I going to get over to these people? What God wants us to respond. And as he was there he was working with a local language expert. And as he was there thinking, suddenly he had a brainwave. He was sat there, and as he was sat there, he suddenly leaned back on his chair, put the whole weight of it, took his feet off the ground, and he said to the guy who could speak the local language, he said, "In your language, what am I doing now?" And this guy gave him whatever the local language for. With putting your whole weight onto something. He said, that's it. That is the word I'm going to use to translate faith, belief, and trust. It's leaning the whole of your weight, of your personality onto God. Suddenly he saw, that's how I'm going to be able to translate it. In fact, some of our Bible translations, the Amplified Bible particularly, sometimes when you see the word belief, faith or trust, in brackets afterwards, it says, lean the whole weight of your personality onto God. It's such a great way of getting hold of what this faith means. Like Matthew leaning out over that mountain, leaning everything on that rope. If that rope had snapped, yeah. If that chair had collapsed, we bought, in the church, we bought some chairs a while ago, and they were faulty batch. of chairs. So we bought these chairs so that we had enough things like the carol service, we had extra enough chairs. There was a manufacturing fault such that if you leaned back on the chair and put your whole weight on it, well, there was a weakness in the mechanism, and gradually the chair would soften, and the metal would bend, and you would end up softly on the floor as the chair would let you down. It was rather embarrassing. We had to send them back and get a whole new batch of chairs. God is not going to let you down. He's not going to let you fall to the floor like those faulty chairs. The whole purpose, the whole thing, the whole basis of our relationship with God is I can lean fully out on that rope, which is my faith. I can lean fully, the whole weight of me on that chair, and that chair won't collapse. If that chair represents God, I can put the whole weight of my personality on God, and He's not going to let me down. I've been a Christian for many years. I've been a Christian for, I don't know, 30 plus years, 40 years, long time. And you know, just recently, God has been speaking to me, would I put my trust in Him? So, well, I've done that before. I've put my trust in you before, God. I've trusted you before. I trusted you in this circumstance. I trusted you in this circumstance. Do you know what? However long you've been a Christian, there's never a time where God doesn't want you to use faith. Until we get to heaven, where we see Him and we'll be with Him, and there we'll be enjoying heaven with Jesus. Actually, while we walk this earth, God wants us to go from faith, to grow in our faith, to use our faith, to live by faith. I felt quite deeply stirred, and actually God exposed an area of my life where I wasn't trusting God. I was worried. I was fretting. I was anxious. You know what it's like when you wake up in the middle of the night and there's something on your mind and you try tossing over time and there's just something and you're trying to work it out, what the solution could be. How could I make this thing right? And I realized I couldn't. I realized I didn't have the power to sort this situation out. I couldn't. I just didn't have what it take. I didn't have the intelligence, didn't have the ability, didn't have the power. I could not sort it. So God said to me, will you trust me? Will you have faith? And that's not just for me, it's for us all. The question today is, will you use the faith that God's given you? God's given you faith. We have faith. A whole reason you started in a relationship with God is because faith was birthed in your heart and you trusted Him and you started to be able to know He's real. God wants your faith and my faith to grow. I want to see this morning, this is the important thing I want us to see today. There's different aspects of faith, but one aspect of faith is this: faith is a choice. I felt very much a few weeks ago, God was saying to me, you have a choice to be worried, to fear, to try and scheme and work it out and sort it out, or you can trust. You have a choice. I have a choice. And you know, very often we're faced with a cold choice. What choice am I going to make? What choice are you going to make? You see, Zechariah was in a difficult place. He had a choice to believe, and he did not believe. Mary was in a difficult place in her life. She had a choice to make. She made the better choice. This morning, will you choose to trust? The Christian writer Max Lucado said this: faith is the belief that God is real and that God is good. It's a choice to believe that the one who made it all hasn't left it all. I love that. I love what he's saying there. It really, really resonates with me. That basically, faith, it comes down, see that middle phrase he's got there? It is a choice. It is a choice. God has given each of us in this room a will. We can use our will to choose one thing or the other. I was reading through Luke 1 a few weeks ago. As I read through the chapter, two phrases just jumped out of me. Firstly, Luke 1:20, where he's rebuked, Zechariah's rebuked. You did not believe my words. As I carried on reading down, Luke 1 and 45, it talks about Mary, she who has believed. In that passage of Luke 1, there are two characters, Zechariah and Mary. Zechariah is rebuked because he chose not to believe, and Mary is honored because she chose to believe. That is the choice, I believe, that faces us. Will you choose? Will you choose to trust? See, if you don't trust God, you end up trusting yourself. Michelangelo had this advice. He said, faith in yourself is the best and safest course. Oh dear. I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I want us this morning, I'm saying the complete opposite. Do you know, every day we use faith so often. Faith in all kinds of things. Simple trust in sitting in a chair, you trust that it's not going to collapse on the floor. I was thinking about, I just booked an air flight to go and see Matthew in Paris. Actually, we're going by train. I booked an air flight to go somewhere else, actually. But I booked a plane ticket. And I don't know about you, but if you think about flying in a plane, actually, it's a very, very faith-inspiring experience. If you go on EasyJet, then you actually walk up to the plane on the tarmac, and you look up at this thing, and it's massive, huge, and bits of metal. That is going to fly in the air. You think, not sure about that. The improbability of a plane taking off the ground. I thought, as I was doing some preparing, I did physics. I studied physics a long time ago. I thought, and just for my own interest, I started looking at the physics of why an aeroplane flies. And it got more and more and more complicated. And I thought, I'm just going to give up. I don't know why a plane flies. I guess I'm going to have to trust, along with everybody else, as to why this big hunk of metal goes up in the sky and stays there. I talked to a pilot, David and I, Matthew and I were up on Hampstead Heath, and we were just looking out, on this Kite Hill, which looks out over the city of London. We're looking out over there, and we just got chatting to this guy who was up there at the same time, and he said he was a pilot, and he told us how the intricacies of flying a plane. And the more he said, I thought, wow, this sounds so tough, this sounds so complicated, there's so many things to think about. When you get on that plane, you risk everything. You hand over everything. You don't understand it. I guarantee I don't. To this pilot who's going to get you there. Well, you hope he gets you there safely. A few years ago, Barb and myself, the boys, we flew from London to Cape Town. And it was not a long, it's about an 11-hour flight. And it was a very easy, comfortable flight. As we were coming into Cape Town International Airport, it was a beautiful day. The sky was blue, and there weren't many planes around. It was as the plane came down, the plane came and it hit the runway quite hard. You know, one of those kind of things where it's not a very nice. But and as soon as it hit the runway, the plane slewed to the left-hand side like this, and we were all thrown next to the person this way. And then the plane slewed the other way like that, and we were all thrown next to the person this way. And then the plane was kind of being pushed backwards and forwards like this. And then the brakes, and we were kind of flown forwards like this. Eventually, the plane's got juddered to a halt. And it was the worst landing ever. Over the intercom, okay, we came the voice. This was the voice. This is what he said. He said, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the captain speaking. I'd just like to congratulate First Officer Jones on completing his first landing of a 747. Now, if he'd have told us before we touched down, we'd have been praying much more. We had faith in the pilot. It was clearly misplaced on that particular occasion. Every day we choose. The power of our choices are very important. I want us to see today that you and I, we make many, many choices every day. We trust many people. We trust many things. God is asking us to trust him, because trusting God is always, always the best choice. Now notice there were consequences for Zechariah's unbelief. He was struck dumb for a period of months. I suggest today this wasn't God's judgment, more his mercy, because actually God didn't want Zechariah putting his foot in it anymore. He made such a mess of it. God said, that's enough. I've heard enough unbelief, enough fear. We'll just be quiet. And so the angel zipped his mouth for a few months. In those few months, we know that God worked powerfully in Zechariah's heart. Because when his son John was born, his mouth was opened and he was able to prophesy about his son with great power and authority and faith. God had done something in his heart. Now that's a great, great encouragement for us today. If today you walked in here feeling your faith was like that, or even that your faith has evaporated, you haven't got faith for a situation, God had mercy. God didn't reject Zechariah and say, well, matey, if you're not going to believe me, you're out. God took him and kindly restored him. God is a God of restoration. God is a God who restores us, kindly helping us, nurturing us. What we need to do is be honest. It must have been very humbling for Zechariah. There he was. He couldn't say anything. Everyone must think, what's he done? What's God? God struck him down. What's he done? Very humbling. In that humbling, God was working. Today, let's humble our hearts before God. So let's humble ourselves before God and say, God, would you do what you did in Zechariah's heart in me? Would you cause my faith to rise? Would you cause whatever level my faith was, could my faith go up so I can trust, I can lean on, I can put the full weight of my personality on you? He restored Zechariah. Today, he will restore you. Do you feel like giving up trusting God for something? Do you feel like giving up? Sometimes we feel, God, I've been trusting you for this for a long time, and I feel like giving up. I want to take us to take encouragement from the passages we've seen today. As we turn back to God, that faith would rise in our hearts. As I was preparing this talk, this final verse, final scripture for today, Romans 10, verse 17. It's a lovely scripture. It says, faith comes from hearing the message. Even today, as we've been looking at scripture, as we've been talking about this, I pray faith will rise in your heart, that faith will come. Faith from God rises, that we can choose to believe. Even if you started this morning with little or no faith, I pray that faith has risen in your heart. I want to finish off with a picture of Matthew hanging out over the abyss again. God wants you and I to do that in a particular situation, to just to trust him, say, God, there's no other alternative but me. I'm just trusting you. I'm hanging on here. Here I am. There's no choice. If this rope snaps, I'm down this mountain. But I am here and I'm trusting you. Because that is the place where God can move. That is the place where God can bring his answer, bring his solution, bring the thing that we need, his perfect answer. Let's close our eyes. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you. Lord, thank you that you are kind and compassionate, merciful God, and that you had such mercy and compassion on Zechariah, even though he didn't believe, even though he had doubt, that you changed his heart, stirred faith inside him, and then he did choose to believe. I'm asking for each of our hearts today, would you do a miracle? Would you do a miracle of causing faith to rise? Help us to see the stark choice of trusting in you or trusting ourselves. Help us to see it. It's either one thing or it's the other. Help us to see it in such stark contrast, the reality of what it means to trust in you. And Lord, would you give us the courage today to trust you? Thank you, Lord. If you feel, just going to ask while we're here before God, to stand up if you feel you would like God to stir your faith, to help you believe, to put that faith to rise in your heart, that something that you could, in a particular situation, you could trust him, that you could like Matthew, just hang on out, saying, God, I'm just trusting you. If you feel, please stand this morning if you feel you would like God to do that in your heart. I'm stood too. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're stood today before you, and we're asking, Lord, for your kindness, the power of your Holy Spirit to come and work in our hearts this morning. Would you help us, Lord, that fear, doubt, unbelief would go in Jesus' name, that faith would rise, that we'd have the courage to choose to trust you, that we'd be men and women of faith, that we'd be those that would hang out there for you, waiting for your answer, waiting for your solution, waiting for your best answer that you have for us. God, would you do miracles in our heart, deep in our heart today, to give us clarity on this issue? That something would fundamentally change inside us, that we would be able to choose to trust the living God in a fresh way and a new way. Just if you feel comfortable doing this, just put your hand on your heart. If you don't want to feel comfortable, that's absolutely fine. But just let's pray for our own hearts. Lord, would you work in my heart? Would you work in our hearts? Would you do something in them that is amazing, that would astound us, that as we see what you're doing in our hearts, Lord, we would be filled with praise, filled with wonder at the fact that you are changing us and you're doing something in us. Lord, this Christmas time, would you do miracles of changing our hearts, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Just quietly, while we stood before God, just articulate quietly between you. It's personally, no one's going to pray for you. It's you and God. Just put into words what you feel you want God to do in your heart, your situation, your circumstance. Lovely scripture says, pour your heart out before the Lord. Pour your heart out now. Just in the quietness of these few moments, pour your heart out to God. Thank you, Lord. I wonder if everyone else would stand. We're going to sing. I'm just going to finish today by as we just bring this, what we've been praying about, thinking about, talking about. That lovely song we were singing earlier. It's about our hearts. It's about God doing something inside us. Let's worship and love Jesus. It's last song.
And so we're going to really have a wonderful time. We're going to start by singing A Little Town of Bethlehem. In a moment, I wanted one or two children, if they'd like to just come and pray. Would you like to get anyone like to come and just pray? Fantastic. They all run forward. If we could have the words of the first verse there. It's so good, isn't it, to understand and to get into the words. It makes such a difference to what we're singing. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And it goes on, this lovely carol, to talk about, there's a verse that says, the dear Christ enters in. And that's what we want for all of us this morning. And I hope that's what John and Joel are going to pray, is that the dear Christ, the dear Messiah might come even more into our hearts today. So let's stand, shall we?
Today we're praying about how you were able to come into the world and save us, Lord. So as we wait, Lord, would you please just come into our lives more, Lord, as we wait for this period. Would you just come into our lives in an unimaginable way, Lord? And when we're doing the carol service, that's when we would know it the most, that you are here and you loved us while you were on this earth, Lord. Amen.
Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come to a church like this, Lord. I thank you for everything that you've done in our lives and always protecting us, Lord. I pray today, Lord, that we'll really see your light, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will come into our hearts, Lord. I also pray, Lord, that we'll be able to feel your presence around this whole church. And I pray, Lord, that people that don't know you will also feel your presence, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
Amen. Amen.
This is our Christingle service. And these services are being held all over this country and in Europe and in other parts of the world. There are thousands and thousands of them being held this December, with probably hundreds of thousands, they think, of children coming and adults to the services. Really, the centre of it is that this is about Jesus coming at Christmas and being the light of the world. The Bible says that God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts. And that's what this is about. So I've asked Emily if she'd come and read this fantastic scripture. It's from Isaiah, but it's quoted in Matthew. I'm just going to read it out. Yeah, brilliant.
Isaiah 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned.
Fantastic. Brilliantly read. Fantastic. Amazing, amazing verse. Really ancient words and so beautiful about this. So we are going to sing this wonderful song, Zechariah's song, which On Min wrote quite a few years ago. And it's got an amazing bit where we really pray in it and ask that God would come and do a work in our hearts, because the Christingle bit is an outward thing, isn't it? We hold an orange and we light the little flame, and that's what we're going to do in a few minutes' time. But it's a reflection of something that we desperately need to happen on the inside. So that's what this song is about. So if you'd like to stand again, and then we'll talk about the Christingle bit. Standing up and sitting down. I need Johnny's Joe. Is she? Oh, yes, brilliant. It's in that bag. I need a helper. Oh, dear. It's coming out of a bag that says every little helps. Yeah, that's it. Can you lift the thing out? Do you want to take it out? Oh, dear, it's fallen over. Okay, there you go. It's a bit like Blue Peter. Here's one we made earlier. We did make it earlier. So this is one of these little Christingle candles. And we're just going to explain to you. Are we going to put up the pictures at this point? The Christingle cube pictures. We don't have to do it now. Oh, he's got them there. There's this amazing thing called the Christingle cube, which they've made especially because this has become so popular that they've made this to kind of explain it. And I think the Sunbeams are going to have one of these, and they could have a look at it if they want. It sort of opens up. I won't try and do it because it's slightly like Rubik's cube, and I'll probably get in a terrible muddle. So we're just going to explain to you. Brilliant. So Christingle is very, very ancient, and it started in Germany, almost before it was Germany, in 1747, where this Moravian pastor prayed this prayer in the church. And the Moravians had had this amazing move of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, and they had gone out as missionaries right out across all over the place, and particularly influencing England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, through the work of John Wesley and others who they came in touch with. So this was something very big that had happened out at this church. And this guy, about 20 years after that, wanted the children to feel and know in their hearts what they had received. So he got on that day in December, the children up to the front of the church. They had oranges and they had little candles. They didn't have all the sweets and the other stuff. And they lit them. They lit these candles. And the churches, I mean, would have been lit by candlelight in those days. And they prayed this prayer, Lord Jesus, kindle, which means set alight, a flame in these children's hearts, that their hearts, like thine become. Very ancient words. But what he's saying is that our hearts would become like your heart, Lord, full of love for others and for everyone around us. So that was the prayer. So let's have a quick look at this. Why are we making these? So the first picture, there's a Christingle cube. It says, God made the world. So that's the orange. Then he says he surrounds it. Let's see, a bit like flame, that nice little Sunday school there. He surrounds it with his love. Maybe that's symbolic. It's red of Jesus dying for us. And then the next one, he fills it with his gifts, okay? So they're the four, which apparently are the kind of four seasons, okay? So I thought this is a good opportunity to limit the sweets, okay? Because we're going to have 3 months in each season, all right? So only three sweets on each little stick. So that's the incredible blessing that God pours out on us. But it says on the Christingle cube, he hasn't finished yet. God gave his son, the light of the world. Ah, so there's a picture. No, if you go back one. So at the top, there's Jesus being born, Jesus living, Jesus dying, Jesus being raised from the dead. And there's a candle to symbol him being the light of the world. The silver paper is our addition, sort of health and safety, to stop the candle dripping. Actually, these are special candles and they don't drip very much. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over in a minute. So if your sunbeams or your flame or your tribe, there's three, if you want to, I realize the tribe are old and sophisticated and they might not want to make these, but some of them did last year. So if you'd like to make one, you're welcome to. So there's a sunbeams table is the first table where Dan's sitting, then flame in the middle and tribe there in a second. And Nick is just going to share, we've got about 5 minutes to do this. We need lots of parents to help us. Sunbeams, it needs to be one-on-one. Seven and younger needs to be one-on-one. We have got fire extinguishers because we are actually going to light these. And there's one big rule, which is that you mustn't move. Once we've lit your little candle, you need to not move around and not wave it around. And the big thing apparently is to be careful. Yes, she's a primary school teacher, health and safety, is not to get it too near your hair, you see. Yeah, no, no. That's a bad example. We want you to hold it out. Wonderful. There, so we'll hold it like that. So that's the plan. And so in a few minutes' time, the children will come back and we'll turn down the lights and we'll light them and we're going to pray. And then we're going to sing at that point an amazing song called the Candle Song. Now, the children won't be able to see the song, so you guys are going to really need to sing it for us. And then we're going to pray that God would come and do something more in our hearts and increase his work among us. That's really the heart of what this is all about. Is that okay? So in a nice, orderly manner, with lots of leaders and parents, sunbeams at this end, flame in the middle and tribe at that end. You've got about 5 minutes to finish off your Christingles.
I've asked Bob if he would time 5 minutes. So I've got to speak nice and loud. You might like to give me a tiny bit more volume, Phil, as I have to speak above the angry mob at the back. So let's have a look at this for a moment, this Christingle thing. This old bishop, basically a bishop meant just one of the main leaders of the Moravian Church. Anyone that knows the history of John Wesley will remember this sea journey where he was completely petrified before he really found Jesus, in a sense, properly for himself. But these Moravians, with all their children, were in this boat, and he was deeply impressed by the fact that they weren't scared. And one of the leaders was this guy, Johannes de Vauteville. Someone correct me. It looks kind of French and German all at the same time. And this was, I think, a few years after this incredible revival that actually shook the world. It sparked off the Great Awakening in America and in this country. Just this little village called Herrnhut in Germany where the Spirit was poured out. And he prayed this prayer, Lord Jesus, kindle a flame in these children's hearts. And I think he was a little concerned that the next generation weren't catching the fire of that older generation. I prayed that in our church it'll be the other way around, that actually we'll catch some of the fire that the young ones seem to have. And there was this Christingle cube. There were three things that I picked out of this. The first thing was the light. God gave us his Son as the light of the world. The second thing that the Spirit brings, it says he surrounds us with his love. Very important, light and love. And then the third thing I just wanted to mention was the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Or we could say the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's just for a moment, in these few minutes, just meditate and think about these things. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. What would we do without him? How could we live this life without him? We need him, don't we? And the first thing that the Holy Spirit brings is light. The Bible says, or rather a song that we sing, I think it's a carol, says, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. First, he must bring light. None of us who have become Christians have become Christians without light. The Holy Spirit showed us something. Probably he showed us our need of something more. Certainly that was true of me. Jesus said himself, when he comes, when the Spirit comes, he will convict of sin. That's a need, isn't it? He shows us there's something wrong that needs forgiving. Unless we are aware of a need, we can never make any progress, can we? We must see our need. And I pray today that through the Christingle thing, we'll see a little bit more our need of more of the Holy Spirit when he comes. And Jesus said of the Spirit, he will glorify me. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. And my prayer this morning when I came to this meeting was, Lord, I need to know you more. I need to see more of you in my heart. He will glorify me. He shows Jesus. He shows love. He pours love into our hearts. Romans 5 verse 5 says he pours God's love. God's love is poured out within our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This Moravian revival was marked by love. They were a very theological group of people, and they argued with one another terribly. They were always at each other's throats. and Count Zinzendorf, who was one of their leaders, he got the leaders together and he said, look, guys, unless we can sort out our differences, God is not going to come and move in this place. And so they did. They actually agreed rules to stop them arguing. And it became a very loving community. And God put it in their hearts that love was the most important thing. And the Holy Spirit hadn't yet been poured out, but he melted their hearts and brought them together. And then finally, what they called the Moravian Pentecost. There was a day when they said they didn't know whether it was heaven or earth. One communion Sunday, they came together, the two different parts of the church. Thanks, Bob. 5 minutes is up. And the Spirit was poured out. The final picture here. This a city on a hill cannot be hidden. That's all of us, isn't it? With our lights shining. Where we give our lives to God and say, God, use my life. The Holy Spirit cannot use what is not given to him. So maybe today we could just let our light shine. Let's pray just for a moment. The children are all ready with their candles. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We pray today that he will shed light upon our hearts and show us our need. We pray he will show us Jesus. We pray he will pour out the love of the Father in our hearts for one another. And we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to equip us to be everything that you have called us to be. Lord, give us more of your Spirit, we pray. Amen.
He did well. He did well against the odds there. Guys, you were very good at the back. I'm very impressed by the tribe guys all making Christingles. Brilliant. So if you've made one, you can come up to the front, but we need one-on-one. If you're seven or under, we need one-on-one. We need parents behind. And then we've got some lighters, some people with matches. We're not going to start until we're sort of all up in an ordered manner. We're going to stand all the way along. Yeah, that's a good idea. Brilliant. With parents standing behind, if you want, or whatever's easiest. I know we've got very little ones here. Let's just wait till everyone's standing before we start lighting anything. Yeah, some of the taller ones. Some of Tribe could stand behind. Tribe, do you want to stand behind? That would be great. And when you're all standing, then we'll light them. Is everyone kind of ready? Okay, brilliant. So the matches can go along. So once yours is lit, you just stand really still with it. It won't drip. It won't do anything funny. And if you're worried at all, just blow it out, okay? So hold them really carefully, right away from your hair. We need parents just to watch the flame. We're going to turn the lights out in a minute. Yeah. Really careful in the back row. Yes, guys, Joel. Yeah. Keep them right away from everyone. That's it. Brilliant. Okay, we're going to turn down the lights. We're just going to pray and then we're going to sing. Lord Jesus, we're praying the prayer that they prayed all those years ago. We're praying that you would come in a new way to our hearts and light up our hearts today, Lord, that we would love you more. Lord, we just ask that now in your name. Amen. Brilliant. We're going to sing. Barbara's going to lead us.
Fantastic. Big welcome this morning to New Life. Grab yourself a seat, please. Lovely to see you. Fantastic. Let's give Michelle a big round of applause. Michelle, come on down. Now, every month, Michelle's been teaching us a Bible verse. So grab yourself a seat. And Michelle, we're going to find out this month, what is the verse for the month? Please, Michelle.
Okay, well, it's an easy, short one that most of you already know. So it won't take a lot, and it also flows from Verdon's wife Regina when she did the talk for us about hope and despair, disappointment. even. I knew it was a D. So instead of despair and disappointment and all the terrible things, we can have hope. And this is a verse of hope. And it's from Romans 8:28. So you probably all know it, don't you? And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Yeah, so I think you know already. So it's a nice, easy one for Christmas. You can all learn it. And if there's anything that's difficult for you, like a broken elbow or, something not gone right, in it, God's going to work for the good for you. So, you know, because we all face difficult times and things don't look good and we can't always work things out at the time. But God sees the whole picture and this is what he's promised us. Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Michelle. Sarah, where is Sarah? There she is. A big hand for Sarah.
Okay, so we've got ECOS today. I think we're a bit short on helpers, so any extra helpers will be gratefully received. Some people in this church like Christmas more than others. There's an opportunity this afternoon. So you know all the roadworks and problems that we've had at Archway for maybe 4 years now. It's all finished and there's a nice new plaza by Archway Tube Station. This afternoon, they're naming the plaza and turning on the Christmas lights and there's stalls and carol singing and entertainers and drummers and all sorts going on. So thought it might be fun. After ECOS, we go to Costa. And I know this is sounding quite long now. after Costa, I thought I might wander down to Archway and see what's going on and invite any of the ECOS people who fancy coming along. So if anyone wants to join us, I think Phil and I might be there. So hopefully it'll stop raining by then and it'll be fun.
Thank you, Sarah. For those of you that don't know ECOS, there'll be about 15 to 20 people from other countries who want to improve their English, and we spend an hour of our time after the meeting talking with them. Today, because we're particularly short of hands, because people are getting tired and busy and are away, anybody with a smile and a vague understanding of the English language is welcome. It'd be a great time to come along. But actually, because I know there's carol practice, the choir practice as well, after the choir practice, do feel free to come at 2 o'clock to Costa and then join up at Costa and then wander along to Archway. For Sarah is the celebrity for the switching on of the light. Then do come along to that. Thank you.
I've got some news. Christmas is very nearly here. Very nearly. Okay, hang on. We're nearly there. As we're getting excited about Christmas, are you getting excited about Christmas? Yes, very fantastic. We got a carol service in 2 weeks' time. So not next week, but the week after. Here in this hall, we're going to be inviting friends, neighbours, relatives, anyone to come along to our carol service. And it's going to be 4 o'clock in the afternoon. On that day, there won't be a morning meeting. So next week, there's a morning meeting. But the week after, on the 17th, there's just the 4 o'clock carol service. It's about an hour, and it's a great opportunity to invite people along. Three Fs, three things to think about for the carol service. Please bring some funds, some money. We're going to be collecting for the India project that we've did last year, which is basically is to do with helping those in India, particularly what we're going to be doing is buying mosquito nets and helping drill a well in a village to get some clean water. So we're raising money. Last year raised about £1,700 at the carol service, able to really make a difference in India. So that's bring some funds, bring some friends, invite some friends along to come to the carol service, because it will be accessible, it will be fun, it will be easy. And lastly, bring some food, finger food. It's just something, nothing to heat up, nothing that requires a spoon, just finger food, some nice cakes or nice sandwiches to share with our visitors who are going to come. It's a great opportunity. Christmas is such an opportunity. People who wouldn't normally come to church would think of coming to church for a carol service. And so that's going to be not next Sunday, but the Sunday after. as Nick said, this Sunday and the Sunday and next Sunday, we're going to be practicing. If you'd like to be in the choir, we've got a choir item, got a lovely piece. Barbara's arranged a piece for us to sing. It's a lovely piece. And if you'd like to sing in that, then you can please come. We're going to be practicing this week after the meeting and next week. And so if you come to both, great. If you can only come to one of the practices, fine too, no problem. If you're going to ECOS today, then don't come to the choir practice today. You could come next week to the choir practice. But it's going to be a really good time, our carol service. So we encourage you to get ready in our hearts and pray for that time. Finally, just over Christmas time, we're not here. We're meeting in different places. So Christmas Eve, on Sunday Christmas Eve, let's have a picture, we're going to be at Chalk Farm Baptist Church. The school is used for a different, over the Christmas period, it's used by Crisis at Christmas as a resource centre. And so we're not here. It's closed down for our use. It's used by Crisis. And so we're going to be meeting on that Sunday morning, not here, but at, so it's Sunday the 24th, going to be at Chalk Farm. And the next day, on Christmas Day, same time, 11 o'clock, we're going to be meeting at Chalk Farm for Christmas Day celebration with Revelation Church and Chalk Farm. It's going to be a great time together. On Christmas Day, and then the week after, on the Sunday, the last Sunday, the 31st, the last Sunday of the year, we're meeting in the morning at 11 o'clock again at Chalk Farm, and then in the evening for a watch night service, which is from 10:30 through to 12:30. So that's a busy time over Christmas, and then we're back here to start New Year on the Sunday, the 7th of January, the first meeting of the year at 10:30. So I just got a final, just a little mention.
Not finally. Two things. I hope you haven't all finished writing your Christmas cards yet, because I haven't. And there's still just a few of these left. If anyone wants to write to prisoners in other countries who are in prison because they love Jesus, this book has some addresses in, so just snatch one from the book table at the back. And it's Gerard's birthday. Many of you remember Gerard and Jeannie when they were part of our church, and Gerard was an elder. I saw his mum at Joe's mum's funeral, and she was very keen to tell me that he was going to be 60 in a week's time. So I've got a big card here. If anyone wants to write on it, it will be passing around at the end. Thank you.
Thanks for being very patient, everyone. Okay, the children, the teenagers, the babies, out through the arch. There's a lovely little arch there. It used to be golden, actually, but it's no longer golden. They're painted white, the golden arch. But it's out through the arch. So all the teenagers, all the children, all the babies, now's your time to make a move. Got a 1-minute comfort break.